Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A U.S. House panel has taken up a bill that would block new environmental and safety standards the Obama administration imposed on Arctic offshore oil drilling. Alaska Public Media reports that the standards address environmental concerns and difficult Arctic operating conditions, but their effectiveness was challenged at a Wednesday House hearing. Here's the American Petroleum Institute's Eric Melito.
There is some question as to whether or not the additive Alaska Arctic rules were actually providing an additional benefit when it comes to safety and environmental management.
The bill would also rescind President Obama's decision putting most of the Beaufort and Chukchi Seas off limits to drilling. It additionally calls for a study of the inefficiencies of the two agencies that regulate drilling. Democratic Congressman Alan Lowenthal of California raised several objections.
Are we going back to a time where everything is about revenue collection? What impacts could this have on safety?
The bill includes revenue sharing for Alaska and other states where offshore drilling would occur. This was the first hearing for the bill, which still must go before the full House Natural Resources Committee. The Fairbanks North Star Borough's Interior Gas Utility has a big decision to make. The voter-formed IGU is considering taking control of the state-led Interior Energy Project. Originally envisioned as providing a low-cost alternative to wood and oil, the project is initially falling a little short. That was the message from IGU General Manager Jomo Stewart at a Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation-hosted meeting earlier this week.
This project is simply not going to look, at least not coming out of the chute, the way we wanted it to look.
The primary shortfall is the projected price of natural gas to customers along a limited gas distribution network in the core areas of Fairbanks and North Pole. The project has long targeted a price equivalent to heating oil, or $15 per 1,000 cubic feet, but Stewart says the current projection is somewhat higher.
$20.20.
Stewart says there's potential for the price to be lower if more than expected people convert their heating systems to burn natural gas and sign up for service. The price could also drop if the project secures a better Cook Inlet gas supply deal after the current contract expires in 3 years.
We have that back-end option or opportunity to try to find that more favorably priced gas.
The $346 million Interior Energy Project includes Cook Inlet gas processing and local LNG storage facilities, as well as the transportation and distribution systems of Fairbanks Natural Gas, a formerly private company purchased by the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority to forward the project. Stewart says Fairbanks Natural Gas is financially sound.
The corporation, its personnel, assets, and operating systems is solvent and sound and adequate to provide a foundation for utility system growth and expansion.
The cost of FNG is $60 million, a price critics contend is too high. But under the deal with ADA, the nonprofit IGU would benefit from very favorable state financing, including bonding and super low interest rates.
So no interest payments, no principal payments, no interest accruing for the first 15 years, with a 35-year payback period thereafter at 0.25% interest. As I've described it, it's the sweetest student loan you ever heard of.
Stewart also describes the terms as necessary to finance a high-risk project hinged on hope that people will convert to natural gas. That was a slam-dunk proposition 10 years ago when oil prices were high and the project was first envisioned, but less so now, leaving the possibility of fewer-than-expected customers. Stewart says even in the worst-case scenario, the project should remain viable.
Clearly, the utility is in a challenged position. However, it is still able to meet its to continue to operate, to provide service, and even meet its debt service.
The Interior Energy Project goal has always been providing lower-cost, cleaner energy to as many people as possible. That's key to reducing pollution from wood heating. Local air quality advocate Patrice Lee, who attended this week's meeting, says the current plan is a tough call given local air quality and economic constraints, and citizens should not feel pressured to accept it.
I would hope that the IGU and Fairbanks wouldn't be held hostage in terms of the money. We need clean energy. We need affordable energy. And the state money should go to benefit the citizens of the state.
Lee will have some say in what happens in the future as a newly elected member of the IGU board. Fedco CEO Jim Dodson stresses that even though the project has fallen short of initial targets, it has potential. noting the possibility for federal support to subsidize gas conversions, but only if the community takes on the project.
That will allow people to step forward and say, let's find ways to make this work. It is up to us to make this happen if we want to.
Draft contracts to take over the Interior Energy Project from Ada are being reviewed by the IGU board. Stewart emphasizes that the public will have opportunities to learn more and comment before the board votes on any deal. The most controversial mine proposal in the state is gaining momentum again based on a settlement with the Trump administration. Last week, developers released a new vision for the Pebble Mine in southwest Alaska. And as Elizabeth Harbaugh with Alaska's Energy Desk reports, Alaskans can expect a lot more action on the project.
When Pebble CEO Tom Collier took the podium at an industry gathering in Anchorage earlier this month, he recalled a speech he gave to the same crowd during the Obama years.
On how we were going to win this battle with EPA.
Back in 2014, the Obama administration effectively halted the project after hearing from locals worried the mine could harm the Bristol Bay salmon fishery. The Environmental Protection Agency took the unusual step of proposing steep restrictions even before the normal permitting process could begin. Pebble argues this amounted to blocking the project. But after a meeting with Pebble's Collier this spring, new EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt announced a settlement, allowing Pebble to move forward with permitting. Collier, who claims he can build the mine without hurting the fishery, aims to start permitting in December.
You know, when you've invested $750 million getting ready to go into permitting, it ought to go pretty smoothly.
That's exactly what Pebble's opponents are worried about.
I didn't see it coming, you know.
Lindsay Bloom used to fish for salmon in Bristol Bay and has opposed the mine for years as part of advocacy groups Salmon State and Commercial Fishermen for Bristol Bay.
I thought the fight was over when EPA proposed its determination, and I thought that it would be finalized during the Obama administration.
But that didn't happen. The federal government is back to following the process Pebble demanded. So now, Bloom and other opponents are increasingly turning their attention to the state. They worry that Alaska's existing laws might not be tough enough to protect Bristol Bay's salmon.
What we've seen is a permitting process that at every turn is geared and interpreted to be to get to the yes and to get to the permit.
So Pebble opponents are trying to change state laws. Already, a judge upheld a ballot initiative that, if approved by voters, would significantly beef up protections for Alaska's salmon streams. Opponents are also lobbying Governor Bill Walker, and he's listening to their arguments.
I'm not supportive of the Pebble Mine.
Walker said that in an interview in early October, the day before Pebble rolled out new details on the proposed mine.
When it comes to two resources, a renewable and non-renewable, I always go for the renewable.
As the groups fighting the mine ramp up pressure on the state, Pebble isn't sitting idly by. It plans to challenge at least one current state law that could spell trouble for the project. In 2014, voters approved a ballot initiative requiring the Alaska legislature to approve a large-scale gold and copper mine in the Bristol Bay region. Last week, Collier announced plans to sue, claiming the statute is unconstitutional. From Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.
And I'm Dan Bross.